Donald Jeffries.
Donald Jeffries.
Author of Hidden History and Survival of the Richest. Host of The Donald Jeffries Show. Billy Ray Valentine.
Billy Ray Valentine.
Host of the Infinite Fringe podcast. Researcher, truth seeker from the Bronx, New York. Tony Arterburn.
Tony Arterburn.
Radio host, combat veteran, precious metals analyst, and alt historian. Together, they take on the headlines of the week, decode the disinformation, and plow through the mainstream propaganda. Unauthorized, unscripted, and unintimidated.
Unintimidated.
This is America Unplugged.
What's going on? It's America Unplugged, and it appears that it is that time of year again. Well, it happens every 2 months, every 3 months. It's World War III again. We will talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on, Billy Ray Valentine? Glad you guys are here with us today, Saturday, live from New York. It's Saturday afternoon. And I have the usual suspects with us, as usual. That's why they're the usual suspects. Mr. Tony Arterburn, the wisest of all the wolves. How are you, sir? Good to see you. Say what's up to the people.
I am officially the Phil Connors of the apocalypse, folks. So it's World War III again, because it's Groundhog Day. 33 and a third. That's a fantastic title. Great job on that, Billy.
I wonder who came up with that.
I don't know.
It wasn't me.
Well, I don't care who gets the credit. It's funny.
I wish it was me, but I sat here and I was like, what do we call the show today? Because I have no idea. And Tony, very quickly, Tony is better at this than me. And I had to come to terms with that. Because typically I pride myself at being very good at coming up with titles for stuff. And then he's quicker. He's quicker at it than me. It takes me a while. And then he's just better at it than me. Unfortunately, I don't say this out loud to many people, Tony. I don't let people know that they're better than me, but I'm okay with the wisest of all the wolves being better than I. That's just fine. Another gentleman that is also better than I, the legendary, ladies and gentlemen. Look at them, sir. Make sure you look at them. They want to look at you. How are you, Mr. Jeffrey? Say what's up to the people.
Oh, it's good to be with you guys. Yeah, and it is. World War III is becoming it's kind of becoming boring, isn't it? Because, you know, nothing ever happens. You know, but it's always there.
Don't say that, Don. I'm pretty confident
at this time. I think we're in kind of the loop where, I don't know, maybe, you know, it started with all the shooting events and stuff. I don't know. Maybe this is their entire thing is just to do theater because, I don't know. None of it makes any sense in there. Every week we get a new prediction. So Iran so far is showing to be just as peace-loving as Saddam Hussein was when he had all his weapons of mass destruction and somehow chose not to use them, even when he's attacked by the greatest military force in the history of the world. So good for them. But I hope I'm right. Certainly don't want a real World War III, but we do hear constant threats of it. And it's just getting a little ridiculous.
Wars and rumors of wars.
Yeah. And a lot of rumors.
What was that, Don?
Is it a lot of rumors? That's for sure.
A lot of rumors. We do have some wars. Also.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you believe that since you're not turning on the television, they're not actually going on.
There is. I have to find it again. I communicated with this guy a little bit. There is a guy that I'm intrigued by that believes that all the wars have been fake. And I want to, it's kind of a Miles Mathis war specialty or something, but I want to talk to this guy more because of course it fascinates me. Right. And, but I don't know. I think I lost his information. Anybody, if anybody knows about that, get with me because this guy goes beyond Miles Mathis. Everything is fake and has been throughout history.
Well, maybe you should talk to Crow. I'm not saying that he thinks everything is fake, but he certainly believes that nuclear bombs are fake.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that do that. Yeah,
he discussed that on my very briefly on the episode we did about the eclipse, and I know you wanted to talk about that real quick, but he mentioned how nuclear bombs were fake. I don't subscribe to that point of view, but there are many people in the alternative media that do.
Yes,
and there are people that go even further and say that no wars ever took place.
Yes.
Tony never went to any of these things.
Just on the nukes question.
What's that?
My grandfather, his placard right is back behind me. It's Lieutenant Nick Davis from the Marine Corps in the 1950s. He's part of the hydrogen bomb experiments. As a matter of fact, he wrote in detail. He later became vice president of Texas Instruments Weapons Division. He had a top secret clearance. And he told me stories about them detonating the weapons in front of him, like literally would be in a trench with no gear. And they would tell him to put their arms over their eyes to protect from the blast. And he said that he could see the bones in his arms when they would detonate the hydrogen bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Nevada desert and elsewhere. So I don't think he was lying to me. Again, and he died from the cancer because he had like 7 different types of cancer. Yeah. He lost his leg when he was 50 at the hip. And again, this was a man who was a cold warrior. So everybody's entitled to have an opinion, but I know that to be, that's part of my family lineage. So thank you.
And you have, people like you telling me that provide firsthand testimony. I've never been near a battlefield, and that was by intention. But that's the problem is it in that world, which still fascinates me in the world, the Miles Mathis type world. There's a lot of intriguing points they make, but you go so far then is if everything is unreal, then you literally end up like not trusting yourself. You don't trust your own family. Are they actors too? So it can get completely ridiculous. And then of course you have all the people in Japan and everything. I'm sure there's been tons of survivors that talked about what they experienced when we dropped the bomb on them.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is a show about analysis and we give our own personal perspectives. You can take from it what you want. Alternative media is an interesting place. And there's all sorts of diverse opinions about the shape of the planet that we're on, whatever this is, the nature of reality. All those are important questions. Even when I was on Tinfoil Hat, I talked about if you could print $1 trillion, you can't because there's not enough paper. If you could print $1 trillion bills and you stretch them end to end, they would reach the sun. And I said 93. I go, then that's if you believe there's a sun. I take into account that people don't believe that. And then, Sam Tripoli's came back. He was great on that. He said, 93 million. He's like 93. That's Aleister Crowley numbers. I thought, well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to that. I'm open to all that. But when it comes to the reason that I get my spidey senses and all this stuff that starts to, it's kind of like an old wound or an old injury when it rains. That's the way war is to me, because that was my early 20s, like my late teens, early 20s.
Right.
Was 3 foreign wars and invasions and stuff. And you guys know I'm anti-war. I'm like Smedley Butler at this point. A war is a racket and it's immoral. In most of the cases that today in the modern world, it's not about defense. So again, I'm anti-war. But I also look at the headlines and what we're trying to do is figure out what does all this mean? Whether it's the invasion of Ukraine, it took NATO 20 years, Don, to set the stage to provoke enough to get Russia to cross that border.
Yeah, yeah.
It took a long time. We expanded NATO in their face. We've been talking about that. What does that mean? NATO mm-hmm. has been expansive and pushing up to Russia's borders. It'd be like if China was here and building, weapons labs and laundering money through Mexico and how we would be upset and justifiably so, by the way, because it would be incursions into your hemisphere as a great power, and we're not respecting Russia. But then we have October 7th with Israel, and this panel has been saying from the get-go that this isn't really about Hamas. It isn't really about terrorism. This is about nation states. And so now the headline on Drudge is Iran readies 100 missile drones, seizes ship in the Strait of Hormuz, USA moves destroyers, Israel on edge. This is in direct consequence. This is coming from and stemming from the actions post October 7th. Am I wrong, Don?
Yeah, no. I mean, that's what you would think. But I have mine when we, because this kind of gets into this whole hoaxy thing, which fascinates me. It's a Truman Show type of thing. But somebody like Miles Mathis, I've told this story before, where he didn't think I was real. I mean, he wrote about me a long time ago, and that was when Dave McGowan was still alive. I was very flattered to be compared with Dave. He says, people like Don Jeffries and Dave McGowan, they're ghosts. They're not real. Try to find a picture of them somewhere. And I think, you can find so many pictures of me and so many videos. My mug is out there everywhere. So this guy didn't do his homework. So I wrote him back and said, hey, I'm real. And he just to let you know. And this is the ghost of Don Jeffries. But, you know, I'd love to have him on the show. But I said, these people are so full of themselves. You think a guy like that would want to get his ridiculous theory out there to people? But he said, no, I don't do interviews. Okay. Who else is asking you to be interviewed, dude? But you're right about the the Hamas thing was the entire reason. We can talk a little bit about that, how the left has become there's an awakening going on or something, an evolution, or whether it's, I don't think it's real, but you know, suddenly they're kind of joining the more radical elements over there and really criticizing Israel, which they haven't done for a long time. But if you look again, even there, something like that, a lot of us questioned that from the very beginning, because that was, I'm sorry, that was just it's kind of like the Chinese spy balloon. It's a very unusual way for terrorists to launch an attack to paraglide in at a pretty slow speed over a rock concert. I mean, I would think, you know, that with the IDF is pretty efficient, supposedly, that they should have been able to track that as they were coming in or something. But I don't know. So I question that, just like when you talk about the Ukraine, Tony, you know, I've mentioned that video that's out there. I don't know what it means, but there is a video out there that pretends to be body bags from over the Ukraine. And they have the crisis actor under one arm that lifts it up and he smokes a cigarette under the body bag. I don't know if that, I mean, but that's what makes people question the entire thing. I mean, I'm not saying I do, but along with Zelensky and his acting career and him, you know, holding, you know, tete-a-tetes with all these ridiculous, you know, Hollywood people and right in the midst of a battle zone, somebody like Bono, who again is one of the elite with his one, you know, foundation that gives, you know, just about 1% of your money that you give to him to the actual cause, 99% is overhead, but he survived that and he's still there, but he gave a concert right in the middle of a battle zone, which is a war zone. I don't know. So I question everything about it, but you know, I obviously we're on the same page there and I don't know what's going to happen now, but they've dragged this out. Now they put Iran in, which they've talked about for a long time. So we'll see.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Don Jeffries exists. I met him once.
Yeah, you know,
that's right. So I think he's real.
Someone impersonating him anyhow. You know, I could be a crisis actor too.
I can only tell you what I saw, right? So that's what it could have been, an impersonator. I
yeah, that's right.
Very possible. He did write a book about Paul McCartney. So he knows all about the impersonating game. You know, he might be next level impersonator extraordinaire, and I wouldn't know. Like, how would I know, right? But and I did just, meet. What's up?
Well, food, didn't mean to interrupt. Food for thought, though. Why Guy Fawkes mask? Why don't we have Don Jeffries mask? If we're all Don Jeffries, why don't we're we just? All,
I am Don Jeffries.
Can we just? We'll get that when we have the freeworld.shop up. We'll do a Don Jeffries mask.
Yeah, love yeah.
That. I am Don Jeffries shirt.
I am Don Jeffries.
We are all Don Jeffries. Fantastic. I do want to talk a little bit about the situation with the left here in the United States. And I think it's a direct result of the election coming up in November. I think that's the reason they are taking the stance that they are. Well, the radical left has been taking that stance for quite some time, the AOCs and Ilhan Omar and all that other stuff. Some would say Ilhan Omar is straight up anti-Semitic, right? The way she talks. Some say that. That doesn't mean I'm saying that. That some people say that is what they say. So they've been taking these stances for a long time, but it's bleeding over into the rhinos of the Democratic Party. What would we call them? The
dinos.
The dinos. Democratic name. Is that a thing, or did we just coin that?
I think we just coined it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Dinos. Democrats.
Never get credit, but
right. We did that here on America Unplugged. We set trends. That's what we do. Okay. It's bled over as a result of the election because they need to get all the support possible in order to be able to retain the White House in November, because things are looking crazy, right? I still think Joe Biden's gonna win. But things are looking serious here, right? And we're gonna get serious conspiracy theories out the ass in November, in December, in January. It is not going to be good. But the left recognizes that they can very well lose this election, and they are saying, hey, you know, they're looking at what the young people are saying. They're looking at the large Muslim community here in the United States, in particular in swing states, right? They're like Michigan, it's a huge Muslim community, and they're not happy with Joe Biden. So what are they doing? They're pivoting and they're saying, well, you know, Netanyahu, you need to chill. All right. You need to stop doing what you're doing. We need to have a ceasefire. We need to figure this out. Here is like $2 billion in weapons, though. Take that on the side. Nobody's going to notice that we're doing this. But what we're going to say is that we are not happy with what you're doing, and you need to change it, and you need to stop. Once Joe Biden is back in the White House, or whatever you think that is that represents the name Joe Biden, it could be a clone, it could be a lot of things. Whatever that thing is, whenever it gets back into the White House, all of this goes away very freaking quickly, in my opinion. And it's all Israel all the time, 100% again, because there's nothing to stop them at that point. They have 4 years. What are they going to do? Vote him out? He's gone. What are they going to do? Go get Donald Trump? No, he's going to be gone too at that point. It's over. Checkmate. Done. You know, so I think that's what we're seeing here. And I think it's important to realize this so we can hold their feet to the fire after the fact. Let's not forget what's going on here. Tony, what's up?
Well, certainly the Democratic Party establishment is doing its best to placate its actual base. It's a base that they created. It's pretty much like a Frankenstein. They created this monster, mm-hmm. and they're trying to feed it. And mm-hmm. you notice it's just a bunch of... There's a bunch of old white guys, you know, and in charge of this diversity mob, you know, that's just what is what they do. Yeah. And I don't know why the mob can't see that, but that's the way the left always is. They're blind to actually who controls them. The left in history anyway has always been controlled. They don't know it. Maybe perhaps like the Marxist revolutionaries, like the Bolsheviks, like the communists in Mao Zedong's 1949 revolution, all controlled by the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, giant banking consortiums. That's the way they do it now, through ESG, BlackRock, Central Bank, on down, environmental social governance, controlling Marxian behavior through the central banks, because that's the fifth plank of the Communist Manifesto, if I'm not mistaken, is a central bank. So they control the left. This is the power structure and the duopoly in this country. That's what we ought to be concerned with. Both parties are funded by the same people, you know. It's the same, you know. It's like it's like at the end of a Scooby-Doo episode, and then like you pull off the mask, and it's the other party.
Yeah,
infinitum. I keep pulling out. It's the same person over and over. Or that great meme where the Spider-Mans are all, you know,
pointing at each other, right?
Pointing at each other. So that's where we are. And I think you're right about they're placating the squad and other, but they'll just go back to being the ruling class when they're done. They're using that to shake things up, right? And they'll get people to the polls. And however real this election's going to be, I don't know. But they definitely need the pageantry of it. And you have to have people participate,
right?
In the scam. That's what it is. Don wrote about vote scam in Hidden History. Go read that. Next time you're looking at electronic voting machines, and does your vote count?
No, man, that's a really good point, man, and it's going on already throughout the alt media, planting the seeds of for the conspiracy community, and now the alt right and the rhinos, because the dinos are going to take a. We have to drive this point home. I love the dinos, right? So the dinos are going to take a different approach to this. But I was listening to Knights of the Storm this morning on freeworld.fm, by the way. People need to get over at freeworld.fm and listen to Knights. I understand that they're on Rumble, you know, and you can see Jason there. But what we're going to do is I'm going to talk to Jason and see. We're going to have a freeworld.fm day. We were talking about that with Tony the other day. So we're going to figure that out and get all you beautiful people over there. He had a gentleman on this morning, Dr. LaGuardia, and I couldn't disagree more with some of the stuff he was saying. And one of the things that he said was, that, you know, they had things like disease X and things like that. They were keeping them in their back pocket to interrupt the election, to keep Trump out of office. right? And I'm like, really? That's the agenda here, is to keep Donald Trump out of office. There's no other agenda. There's no bigger agenda. They locked down the world for COVID to keep Donald Trump out of office. Is what they did before. That was the conspiracy theory. So now they're rehashing that. And then he goes, well, they don't want elections, or if they do want elections, they're going to have paper ballots, you know, and that's going to destroy everything. Now, I mean, we all listen to David Knight here. Not that we have to. You can listen to America Unplugged and get the same information, because we've been talking about this for quite some time. Who made that shit possible? Who made it possible? You don't want to listen to me. Go listen to the man. Go listen to David Knight. He says it every day. Yeah. Every day. I love David for it, because no one else is doing that. Not that I know of, unless you go listen to left-wing media, and most of you don't want to do that, right? He's the only one in the alt media doing it, pointing it out.
And he gets the clear picture.
Right.
The left has like the phantom things they think Trump is doing, like, they don't want him to secure the border. They don't want him to bring the troops home. Yeah. They don't want him to have peace in Ukraine. Like, he talks about those. Is he going to do them? Like, and I kind of go back. Somebody had acknowledged my comment a couple of weeks ago and said, amen. I said, I voted for a secure border in 2016. I didn't get it. So what am I doing now? I'm going to vote again for that?
Yeah. Let's vote for a secure border. I'll join you. And I really think Trump is going to do it this time, because why not?
Yeah,
I think Billy froze up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay. You know, I really think Trump is going to do it again, because why not? Why wouldn't he do it? He did it. He certainly tried to do it the last time, you know. And Joe Biden is another. And now they're talking about the abortion ban. You hear about this, right? That now he's pivoting. He's not going to do the full abortion ban. Or the Republicans are pivoting, and they're saying it should be a state to state. This is also pressure. Right. This is also pressure that they're receiving from the majority of America, to be honest, unfortunately. Right. Whether you side with abortion or not, I don't think abortion is a good thing. But people want that right. Right. And I've always said, that's between them and God. It's not between you and I. We have nothing to do with this. All right. And the majority of America wants that. So what's the Republican Party going to do? They're going to pivot. They've already pivoted on so many things. And it's all paying lip service, because they want to get in. That's it. They don't care about anything. They don't care about the way you feel. They don't care about your rights. They don't care about your money. They don't care about anything. They just care about power. It's the same that we just drew a comparison between the dinos and the rhinos. It is the absolute same. Joe Biden does not care about Palestine. Joe Biden does not care about the Arab Muslim community here in the United States. He does not give two shits about it. Yeah. But he will say that he does to get into office. Same thing with Donald Trump on a completely different spectrum of issues. Tony, what's up?
We're beyond politics now. I think we're way beyond politics. I don't. If you've been paying attention for the last few decades, if you've been alive, then you notice that there's something absent in our discourse today, and that's issues. There is no issues. They don't talk about anything, really. They do sound bites.
Yeah.
They do, like you said, they're not running on any kind of platform.
Right.
They're running to keep Donald Trump out of office. And why? Because they don't believe in what he actually says, and neither does he.
Exactly.
We live in a bizarro land. They're not even going after. We didn't have a primary process in this country this last year. Anybody notice that? There really wasn't a primary process. You have a sitting president who was just got a shoe in, and then you had a former president who was pretty much a shoe in. There wasn't any kind of pushback, anything, not really anything at all. And so we didn't have any discourse in the primaries. And the old saying was, you know, from Richard Nixon was, you know, you run to the right in the primaries, and then you run to the center in the general. Well, what are they doing now? It's like they're not even running to the center anymore. I don't think that the voters are on the mind of the duopoly. I think what's on their mind is they're auditioning for their donors. That's all this is, my opinion.
No, I don't disagree, Tony. What's up, Don?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned I guess the decision was in Arizona that basically went back to 1800, so basically banned all abortion for all intents and purposes. And Trump, again, this again, and I'm not saying that I agree with that.
Right.
But the position of, I would say probably the majority of Trump supporters agree with Arizona's decision to ban all abortion, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, once again, Trump, just like the vast majority of his supporters that still are loyal to him, don't haven't been vaccinated or don't trust the vaccine. He promotes the vaccine, and now he goes, he doesn't hesitate. He goes right out and says, well, I think they got it wrong. You know, that wasn't right. So, and again, that's his history. His history was being a pro-choice Democrat for a long time. Right. And this people, yeah, got to look at the guy's history. When did he suddenly become this conservative icon? The Bible's his favorite book and all that. And he's selling, you know, the Bible for $60 a pop. I doubt that Donald Trump's ever read a page in the Bible. I don't know. He might know in the beginning, maybe. I don't know. But that's about, I doubt he knows anything in there. And again, he's clearly playing a role. And for his, do you guys think he lost any supporters by making that comment about abortion? I mean, I know one of the things I used to run into, and again, I think it's abortion, it certainly is wrong, but it's a complex issue. You know, my generation, you know, before me even, we're the ones that started the, you know, once women started having premarital sex and they broke down that barrier, this kind of stuff was inevitable.
Right.
And it was there. So you either have to decide, well, do you want this? And now you have everything. Look at the culture we have now with everybody twerking or running around half clothed and all that stuff. You've got that sexually charged culture. So you're going to have pregnancies. You're going to have pregnancies going to happen when people are drunk and they don't even know each other's last names or their first names. I don't know. I saw that happen back then. But, you know, so I think it's a complicated issue. So I've always had a hard time with people. I know lots of, I'm a one voter issue, and that's, I'm pro-life.
Absolutely.
So, you're right. So there's millions of people in that Trump camp. So
yeah.
I haven't seen too much backlash from those people for Trump's comments.
None.
So they have an amazing ability to just disregard everything he says. And it's, and that's the basis of support, is you not to mention what he does. Cause I mean, we know he still throws some red meat to him, what he says. He's never done anything right. And he's going to disappoint them again. I feel confident in making that prediction that Donald Trump will pick somebody awful as his running mate, Marco Rubio, maybe even Nikki Haley. So get ready for that, Trump loyalists. He's not going to pick Vivek Ramaswamy. He's not going to pick Tucker Carlson. He's not going to pick Rand Paul. He's not going to reach out and say, Bobby Kennedy, end your campaign and come join with me. He's not going to pick Tulsi Gabbard. He's going to pick some awful rhino because that's what he does. And you all are going to say, well, what can we do? You know, that's the problem that you have here. And you're
he'll
right.
Make heroes out of them, just like QAnon that the entire PSYOP did with Bill Barr. I remember seeing memes.
Yes.
That Bill Barr is scaring the establishment. I'm like, Bill Barr is the establishment. He's the establishment guy. Literally.
Right.
You know, it's
he
like
literally prosecuted
the lawyer for Ron Arucci, the guy who shot Vicky Weaver in the head holding her baby at Ruby Ridge. I mean, are you kidding me?
I mean,
John Bolton was prosecuting the deep state for sure, yeah. I believe.
John Bolton was there. He was there to reform our foreign policy, Don.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, and that's, so that's the whole thing is that, and it almost, for a lot of these people, that almost works in Trump's favor because, well, you know, Trump had to fight all these people. Well, Trump also didn't have to appoint all these people. He had to fight them because that was his cabinet. So, you know, why were they there? Where was the loyalist? Where was his RFK? JFK always had RFK. That was his number one guy. And he had the Irish mafia. Jimmy Carter later had the Georgia mafia. But who did Trump had? Nobody. He didn't have any New York mafia. He didn't have any like business cronies that were outside the system that, his friends that he, I guess he didn't have any friends that he appointed to high positions. Instead, he stacked his entire cabinet, other maybe Steve Bannon, who for whatever it was, at least I think he was mainly responsible for Trump's rhetoric, but he threw him under the same thing with Flynn. Both of those guys, very questionable characters, but they were the only things that you could possibly say maybe these two were aligned with his campaign rhetoric, but Flynn was gone in like 2 days and then and Trump threw him under the bus
and he's still supporting him.
Right. Look what he did to Lynn Wood, Perry Mason Jr. gave up his career as a defense. And really he went way down the rabbit hole. He was saying unbelievable stuff. And, Trump, what did he do when Lynn Wood decided to run for the head of the Republican Party, I think, in Georgia? What does Trump do? He goes and supports his opponent.
I know.
Establish an opponent. And that's what he does all the time. He never varies. He does it. Oh, Rand Paul just called him out on Twitter for he said this is going to be one the worst thing he's ever done. He supported some typical rhino, never Trumper. This is what he does. He's endorsed people that wanted to impeach him. I mean, there's no way to explain. Nobody is that stupid. Right. So I just keep trying to say this is Trump inside. But again, I still am promoting his selection back to the presidency because I want to see the meltdown on TV. But I have regrets because that's the only thing we have. We can't root for anything else.
No, I got you, bro. It makes sense, man. Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't want to see that guy back anywhere near the White House. But I'll tell you what, man, I will pull up a chair. You know, and I will sit there and watch, man. And it's going to be epic television. I'm gonna link this to WWE in just a second.
Can we Billy, can we agree that the only reason that OJ isn't on the list for VP with Trump is he's dead?
Man, let's talk a little bit about OJ, actually. Yeah. I do want to discuss that, but I want to hit Karen Carpenter. I think she made a really good point here that Dr. LaGuardia said that RFK Jr. had Parkinson's, and that's not true, right? Or at least not as far as I know. I don't think he has Parkinson's disease. No. It was spasmodic dysphonia. It's a speech issue. Yeah. I know a little bit about that. he has it's a neurological issue that affects the muscles that produce speech, you know, and it can be treated depending on how severe it is. You can use several things to do it, and therapy can help. But it's a lifelong condition, and that's what he's experiencing, not Parkinson's, as far as I know. You know, I mean, he doesn't show symptoms of Parkinson's. That's a little bit of a flub on the doctor's part. I don't think that's accurate. Regardless of that, this weekend, last weekend, because I saw Steve Swann saying something about the WWE on the chat, and it's violence, right? And it goes with the cult violence and sex, right? That's what they give a declining empire, right? Violence and sex, right? But the WWE put together a 2-year story on Cody Rhodes. He is the son of Dusty Rhodes. And the story is that Dusty Rhodes never won the WWE title. And he's dead. He passed away, unfortunately. And there was never a Rhodes that had achieved that dream, right? To have the top title in the business, which is the WWE title. So they went and got Cody Rhodes, who had left the WWE. On the worst of, on good terms, but as far as creatively, the worst of terms. They weren't doing anything with him. He left the WWE and went elsewhere and made his name. Vince McMahon, while he was still with the company, flew down to where Cody was staying to pitch him the idea and tell him, this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring you back, and we're going to say that you want to fulfill your father's destiny.
Right.
And you're going to go after this title. For 2 years, they did this. It was the most – I've been a wrestling fan all my life. And I haven't been invested in professional wrestling for quite some time, but that brought me back in. The way it was done was masterful, you know, and they paid it off at WrestleMania 40 this week, and he finally won the title, and people went nuts to the degree that people started to cry. Everyone knows this is fake. Everyone at this point. This is, and people started crying because the story was that compelling. Little kids, grown men, women crying throughout the internet, in the arena. The announcer broke down and started crying. And she knows better than anyone. She is intimately involved. But the story was that compelling. This is what politics does to people. 100%. They get you. And even though it's fake as fuck, and they have it has very little to do with reality. They draw your emotions in it to the point where you're so invested that the outcome becomes you. You know, it directly affects you, even though in reality it has nothing to do with you. And this is why it's important to cultivate, in my opinion, people that have been watching the WWE or professional wrestling since they were kids, because they have a keen eye for this. We've been given the handbook of how things work in the real world. I don't know if they did this on purpose or not, but that's the thing. And this weekend solidified it for me. I know it's bull crap, but I was totally in it, looking at it for entertainment purposes, but it didn't make me cry. I'm not going to cry, you know, but people were legit crying, just like they do about Donald Trump, you know, just like they're going to do if Donald Trump becomes the president of the United States in November. These Democrats are going to lose it. I remember walking through, I was working in corporate America at the time in 2016. I will never forget the day after the election when I went into the office. It was like somebody died. I'll never forget it. People were literally crying in their offices, and I didn't understand why. I couldn't put it together. And I went and asked one of my friends, like, what's wrong?
Remember, they had the safe places. They had the safe places for the students and everything.
That's going to happen again.
They'll have safe space on every corner if that happens. Right.
That's going to happen again. People are going to lose it. And this is why I don't understand people that say that it was a landslide victory, or that it was stolen because it couldn't have gone down this way. People are divided right down the middle on this, to the point that they're crying about it.
Politics today is the bread and circus for the marginally informed. That's what we've devolved into. It may have mattered at one time. I'm pretty sure it did. Right. But I don't think the way that the setup in here matters. You're not getting any of the real issues. Again, I mentioned that they're auditioning for donors. They're not auditioning for your vote. They're not doing that. And it's not about doing the right thing. I mean, you have a Republican majority in the state of Texas. I love Texas secession. Love it. Texit. Love it. Used to not support it, but because I'm a union guy, I like my hero, Sam Houston. I've got a tattoo of Sam Houston's autograph on my left arm. I love Sam Houston. He was a union man, but we're looking at this. The federal government is totalitarian. It has nothing to do with addressing grievances anymore. It's taxation without representation. And so I don't even know what politics are anymore, guys. I mean, it really, really and truly on the local level, and go back to Texas, Greg Abbott just keeps busing people to sanctuary cities and not securing the border.
And what happened? What happened to the 25 states that voted to secede? It sounded like, again, where did that? Is right next to the underground rabbis. Where is it? I mean, what happened to that? Where's the trucker rally that was going to go? I'm telling you, that's why I kind of understand the Miles Mathis mentality, because so much of this crap never happens. Well, there's no follow up. Take it from me, when I'm researching stuff, or, you know, I have Chris Graves and Peter Seacott that help me a lot, but it's, I just trying to find simple updates to something. If I'm writing about somebody, and whether it's Bullyocracy or Survival, or some family, you know, sued some big company or something, you can't find any updates. Well, what happened then? What was the outcome of the lawsuit? I don't know. There's never any resolution to anything. If you're okay, what happened? And Trump, especially when I'm trying to write about his presidency, I can't figure out what the hell happened on almost anything. Because Trump would say and tweet so many things about this, and I started to say, okay, what actually happened? What was the result of that? What really happened with DACA and all this stuff? It's not easy to find, but it's, and Billy Ray talked about WWE, and I understand you and John were texting back and forth the other night.
Yes. And John Jeffries. Shouts to John Jeffries, testing back and forth about professional wrestling.
He's the big wrestling fan, and you know, when he was a kid, I watched it with him for a little bit. And ironically, I had watched it with my brother, because my brother was, you know, he was a huge wrestling fan. So as a treat, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 15, even more years ago, we took him and my daughter, who liked it a little bit, and my brother Ricky, because Ricky had never been to a wrestling, so we went to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
When it was over here in DC. And that was, you know, it was right before the guy, what was the guy's name that kind of killed his whole family or something? He was the first match. I can't remember. He ended up, what was that guy's name? I don't know. I'm sure John would know. But I remember he was, so he had a lot of the, and I think, unless I'm imagining, I think Hulk Hogan came at the end. Maybe I'm imagining that, but I do know the Undertaker was there, and that was my brother's favorite wrestler. And of course, my brother's OCD, he ran to the bathroom right before the Undertaker came out. So he missed the thing going dark and the Undertaker's ominous music and stuff. And I'm saying, you waited all your life for this and you're in the bathroom. So, but watching some of those parents there, and watching the people, it is scary because they, I'm sure they can't believe it's real, but man, they are just worked up about it. And it was kind of scary to see that. But when you watch that, there's so much politics today has so many of those WWE elements to it because they should know it's fake too. And in terms of issues, I don't know what are the issues either at this point for, I mean, Joe Biden, when he can formulate a thought, he just kind of mumbles about white supremacists are the greatest threat or something, and a lot of white people support him. I don't understand what is he's basically running on a campaign to constantly keep giving money to Ukraine, to censor his opponents. That's all, and have his Justice Department keep prosecuting Trump over and over and over again. And in Trump's case, again, I don't know what. He just reacts to every ridiculous prosecution by grifting for more money. His entire thing is, I need money, and constantly and selling Bibles and all that. So I don't know what the issue is anymore. In 2016, Trump's campaign, he did a good job of enunciating the issue. So he attracted people like me and Tony and lots of others because he was saying stuff. He sounded like Don Jeffrey some of the time.
He did the same to me, Don. I mean, I wasn't going to vote for him, but I was intrigued. What's going on here? Right. Go ahead.
When he called out the real unemployment rate, which I've been talking about, was changed in the 1990s under Bill Clinton. They recalibrated it in a dishonest way to try to always make it look better for the party in power. And he called it out during the campaign. You know, some people think it's as high as 40%, which I thought it was too. You know, since those are, it's fake news, you know. Soon as he gets in the White House, if the fake unemployment rate started dropping, then he claimed credit for it. Wait a minute, you just said it's fake. So there were so many things like that. So to try to figure out where he said, he's not going to do anything he says he's going to do. But as I told people, if there's any doubt, if you have any doubt, just look at who he picks. The vice presidential candidate is largely ceremonial. It always is, and I don't know. Yeah. When anybody made a good vice presidential pick, I don't know. Pat Buchanan, when he ran for president, Tony prior president, and he still was called a racist, and that was, 2000. That was a long time ago. The first black woman vice presidential candidate. And it didn't help him at all, but I understand politically it made a little sense, but normally there's no, but Trump could, again, he could, he could just, like Bobby Kennedy could have too. RFK Jr. did a very Trumpian thing with this Nicole Shanahan, who was, the former wife of Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google. I mean, the 1% of the 1%. I don't see how that fits what he's saying. But again, just like Trump, what did he do? He trotted out some intriguing names. Well, maybe Aaron Rodgers, the NFL quarterback. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'd let him do it because he's still playing. Right. But he's on my fantasy team, Rand Paul, that'd be nice reaching across the wall, and Jesse Ventura. So he says, these are intriguing choices, but what is he, who? Nicole said, but that's exactly what Trump does, except you'll know who Trump picks. It'll be some stupid rhino that everybody will have to cut. Okay. Well, I don't know. We have to try to explain. Well, Marco, he wants some right. You keep your enemies closer and all that stuff. Like, okay.
Team of rivals. It's the team of rivals.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. And so I don't know, but there's so many parallels to it. And there's no, Biden obviously had no connection to the WWE, but he could have, I guess. But Trump is a WWE Hall of Famer. And
tell them that.
Exactly. So you can never underestimate that. This guy has a history of that. And but again, with all that, don't get mad at me, Trump supporters. I may even trudge to the polls, and because I don't think they're going to count the vote anyhow. But if I do, I'm not voting for Biden. I can tell you, I'd be torn between Trump because I want to see the meltdown RFK Jr. Although RFK Jr., there'd probably be a meltdown too. I don't know what would happen there. But I don't know. I don't know if I'll waste time.
There would be a meltdown for sure. It just wouldn't be as massive as the Trump meltdown, but there would be a meltdown for RFK Jr. For
sure. I don't think you'd have the pussy hats back out in the street and screeching banshees and making animal noises and all that stuff. And that's what I want. You know, I want that. I want that entertainment because
we will cover it live right here on America Unplugged, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, so much stuff to talk about that.
In the belly of the beast, I will go around with my camera and document this. And people will be crying on street corners. It will happen. It will happen.
Do an America Unplugged election coverage.
Just
run it live.
We're doing that. It's done. It's happening. Lord willing. If everything pans out, that's something that we're doing. I want to talk about O.J. Simpson before we get out of here. We're getting some WWE hate.
Oh, Chris Benoit. That's who the LB says.
Chris Benoit. Right. Yeah. But I will tell you, because Steve Swan in the chat said that, smart people like Don Jeffries and Tony Arterburn and David Knight don't watch professional wrestling, that everybody else is stupid and dumb. Well, I guess I'm stupid and dumb, though. But maybe some people that aren't stupid and dumb, is like John Brissom is a big fan. Poikkonen is a big fan. We got Ricky Verandas is a huge fan. There's a lot of people that that you listen to that are huge fans of professional wrestling. Just saying, brother. And take it easy with the comments, bro. We're not hating on people here. Not that
I would say it's definitely an acquired taste. But I noticed when I got into broadcasting, when I got into politics, I got into it at the same time.
Right.
There's a ton of people just like you, and just all throughout alternative media. And this has been the last 11 years. There's a ton of people that are involved in professional wrestling or in the periphery of that also take part in all of this. So it's, you can learn a lot. The reason that Billy can pick up on so much stuff in the world of politics is because he's skilled at watching the sequence of events in professional wrestling, folks. He's an asset for us because he can watch this and go, oh, you see, he's a heel. He's going to do this. He's going to come out and say this, and then he's going to get it's a pageant.
It's a blueprint. You're absolutely right.
And all this is a pageant. The whole world.
Jesse Ventura, who most of the alternative media loves, is a professional wrestler. He understands the psychology behind it. He gets it, you know. And he was able to propel himself to be the governor. Not necessarily the presidency, but I don't think I'd be opposed to voting for him. Regardless of that, I know he's iffy on the vaccine, and that's not cool. Yeah. But regardless of that, O.J. Simpson, a lot of coverage. I didn't think we would see so much coverage for O.J. That he'd passed away. But it was interesting to see how it was covered. And the majority of the people, including Don Lemon, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Don Lemon was on X talking about the O.J. Simpson trial, and somebody asked him, do you think he's guilty? And he didn't come out and actually say it, but this is what he said. He goes, that trial wasn't about guilt or innocence. It was about race. I was there the entire time. He's like, I covered the whole deal, and it was about Black people and them finally getting somebody over in the justice system because he had the money and he had the influence. That's what the trial was about. It wasn't about whether he was guilty or not. That's the way he answered the question. So pretty much, he's guilty, right? Like everybody knows that he did this or everybody believes that I believe that he did it. I think most people believe that he did it at this point. But it's interesting to hear the left come out and say that it was a racial thing now at this point in the game. Back then, it wasn't a thing. I think, Tony, you and I are the same age, so we experienced it in different places. But I know what I saw, right? And people wanted him to be cleared because they wanted him to be cleared. And that was it. They didn't care about any... They wouldn't believe it was like Trump all over again. Trump could have had a bloody glove under the Oval Office desk and nobody would believe it. Same thing with O.J. Simpson. you know, at that point. And it's interesting to see them come out and pretty much say this was about race. It wasn't about what was right, whether he was guilty or not. Interesting. Interesting as hell. What's up, Tone?
Well, in my opinion, the OJ verdict was the high watermark for this country, the justice system, where you could buy your way out of something. It was the high watermark, because after that, it's just a slow, been a slow decline. Now you can have all the money, but if you don't have a certain politics, you can't buy your way out of it. I think right. That was the high watermark at that time. And of course, it was off the just off the heels of the Rodney King riots, the 92 riots, and what happened with the Rodney King verdict and all that. So there was a bunch of immense pressure, but he had the dream team, you know, it was F. Lee Bailey, Johnny Cochran. Yeah. You know, if it doesn't fit, Shapiro. You must have quit, right? Yeah. I watched all the
Kim trials. Kardashian's dad. We can thank OJ for giving us the stupid Kardashians too.
But I mean, to say it's not about, I mean, that's how removed our so-called journalists are and these teleprompters. Was it Trump that said that Don Lemon was the dumbest man in television? It's somebody like it, and it's pretty much apt that he is, because if you look at what OJ actually did, and I mean, is there really anybody that believes he didn't do it? I mean,
there's people that believe he didn't do it, Tony.
It was so over the top that he did, and it was brutal. I mean, Ron Goldman, the Jewish waiter, and Nicole Brown Simpson. I mean, he cut their heads off, folks. It wasn't just like a crime of passion where he like goes in and oh my God, and sees it. He planned it out. He methodically went over there. I mean, and did it. And it's a dark, dark thing. If you go and look at actually what happened, and it's a stain on the justice system, his verdict and all of that. I mean, it's not about race. It should have been about two murdered people that died violently.
Right.
But we don't even do that in this country anymore. But I will stick by my guns that I don't think that trial could happen again unless OJ was like kissing the ring of whatever, you know, Marxian agenda was going on.
You're probably right, you know, but you're more right about it shouldn't have been about that, right? And it shouldn't be about color. It shouldn't be about ethnicity. It should be about right and wrong. That's what this all should, everything should be about that. And what did you do? What's the evidence for it? Did you do this? You're going to jail, dude. Don't matter how much money you got, right? You're going to jail. That's it, you know, but that's not what happened. And just to see so many people talk about it, to relive it, CNN had coverage on it for I don't know, like the better part of a day almost, man. Like I sat down and watched some of that stuff, going over it with my kids, because I was remembering, I was like, I was watching the NBA finals at the time because the Knicks were in the finals. And they lost, of course, because that's what they do. But they were in the finals against the Houston Rockets. Hakeem Olajuwon was whooping that ass. And they went to the Ford Bronco, you know? Like, who does that too, right? Who runs away from that? Like, I mean, that was the telltale sign right there, right? Like, with a bag of money, you know, and a bunch of other stuff, you know? And they cut away to that. It was a big event back then. And he got off, you know, and I don't know. It just shouldn't be about that sort of stuff. But that is America. To this day, it's only gotten worse. There is nothing is about right and wrong anymore. Nothing. Nothing is about truth anymore. Hasn't been about truth for a long time. And these are the examples, the hallmark examples of that. All right, Don, say something and then we're getting out of here.
Well, I think that was 94, and it was I would say it was the last gasp of, because right before the internet came, and so people didn't have the internet. That I remember very vividly, because as an adult, my son, one of his little friends had chickenpox, and I caught it along with him, because I was hanging around his friends. So I was miserable sitting there with chickenpox and itching, and you couldn't itch, and it, you know, as an adult, it's really bad. And so I just sat there, and there was no internet. I had to stay home. I watched that stupid stuff, and it was oh God, it was so bad. But it was like watching a train wreck. You had Judge Ito, you know, if people forget about this guy, who is later one of the good things, the only good thing that Vincent Bugliosi ever did. I mean, he was a lone nutter, and he invented the stupid helter skelter Beatles theory for the tape murders, but. He did write a good book talking about how bad Marcia Clark and Christopher Darden were, how bad the prosecution team was. And if one of the things most people know, Lance Ito, if you remember Mark Furman, who became a celebrity briefly because he had said the N-word, you know, before. And this guy, he became, it was more about him almost than OJ. Again, thanks to the awful media that even existed then. But what they didn't tell you, and Bugliosi revealed later, was that Lance Ito's wife was Mark Furman's boss or something, and they had been enemies for years. They had clashed constantly. And I mean, that you talk about, but so that was one of the first cases I knew of where a judge, this was before the politicization of the prosecution, which we see all the time now, where judges will not recuse themselves no matter what. One of the J6ers, Dr. Simone Gold, I think her name is, she had a judge when she was going up. The judge had been in law school with her and was butthurt because she had turned him down.
Right.
He didn't recuse himself. I mean, but Lance Ito didn't recuse himself, and Mark Furman became a household word for it. And later I learned Mark Furman, in fact, I tried to contact him. He was interested in the JFK assassination, had been studying it. And then somebody got to him and paid him off, and he wrote a ridiculous Oswald Did It book. You know, that's how pathetic it was that he wanted money. But, you know, there are interesting theories. I watched a video a long time ago that made a, you know, plausible case for OJ covering up for his son killing it, you know, but either way, OJ doing it or son doing it, it certainly looks, the evidence is overwhelming. As I said at the time, there pretty much every person on death row probably had less evidence against them than OJ Simpson did, you know, less credible evidence. But on the other hand, there's something to be said for the fact that he never had, you know, he never did anything criminal before that or after. Right. And same thing with his son. So I don't know. I mean, it certainly seems like he did it, but it was, but that case had a lot of the early elements. It was one of the first cases where race was really, really super involved. And they just made it clear. And if you remember the way blacks celebrated, and this is the kind of stuff Jason Whitlock talks about all the time, you know, my favorite podcaster. You know, they acted like they won something.
Right.
I mean, they were going, I mean, you know, some ex-football player, incredibly rich guy, married to a white woman who he probably killed, and who had turned his back on the Hollywood community. I mean, on the black community. He hung around with Whitey. He didn't want anything to do with him. But suddenly during the trial, he got blacker and blacker as it went along. You know, he really started identifying with his roots again. And so that kind of the racial politics was so obvious. But I want to shout out Chris Graves and mention there, OJ was in Capricorn One. And that is one of the most interesting pictures ever made. And that was one of the things that helped spur. If you haven't seen it, they don't show it very often on television for obvious reasons. But OJ was the third astronaut, you know, the token black who, you know, I guess dies soon or whatever. But that was when they faked a mission to Mars. And it was obviously the moon, the people that don't believe went to the moon, which includes me. They made a lot of good points that were obviously based on that. So I'll say that for OJ, that he was a cast member in a very controversial film.
Tony, didn't you guys talk about that at some point? Capricorn One?
No, I haven't. So but I know what it is. Yeah.
I heard it on Don's show. Yeah. I didn't know anything about it until then. I think it was Don and Chris that were talking. I didn't know if it was on your show or on Don. But interesting. I still have to see that movie.
It's funny, like in my line of logic, too, when we were thinking up the show title. So we World War III, 33 and a third. It's kind of like the Naked Gun.
Naked Gun. Okay,
it's like this little synchronicity.
I was just thinking about that because I'm like, I was, that's what I was going to say. I was like, I remember OJ from the Naked Gun. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, he was funny in that.
He was great. I was telling my kids, I'm like, OJ was great. Was
remember the Hurt, the Hertz rental car or whatever? Yeah. He was running, go juice, go. And he had to jump in the rental car just in time. I mean, yeah, he was entertaining.
I was telling him he was what Shaquille O'Neal is now. You know, like Shaquille O'Neal no longer plays, but everybody still knows who he is because he's all over the commercials and he does the shows. That's what O.J. Simpson was, you know.
He was the kind of black that white America felt comfortable with back then.
He said, are you black? You know, and he said, I'm
totally
not.
Killed
black,
his white wife, at least, you know.
That's what he said. But, hey, you know, that's what happens when things hit the fan. You will say anything, just like the dinos, the rhinos, you'll say anything to get your way.
That Chappelle came up with that joke about how he's going to like basically make white America have a stroke, like in mass, like have O.J. Simpson at the halftime at the Super Bowl, like go out there and just kneel on the 50-yard line. That gives a whole new meaning. He's an actor. It's like, hey, you killed it. You know, you're just killing out there.
Yeah. Well, and it was a hilarious way he, as he said, OJ was going to vow he was going to find who really killed his wife and
the real killers. Yeah.
And the joke, the people joke were apparently he's looking exclusively on golf courses because that's all OJ did. OJ led as white a life as you possibly could. He married a white woman. He played golf all the time. You know, he hung around with other rich white people. I mean, that's, you know,
but he even once killed like a serial killer. Like,
yeah. Exactly. He didn't even, you know, he didn't do it the black way, I guess. I don't know. But but regardless, I mean, it's sad when, you know, when anybody dies, but he, and I certainly remember him as a football player and, you know, his 2003 season when he was the first back to get 2,000 yards in a 14 game season. And that was pretty incredible. So, but, you know, it is what it is. But I'm sorry. And wasn't he publicly supporting Trump, or he said publicly, which would make sense.
Yeah.
But I think he said OJ liked him, I think.
Well, that's his last statement. He compared himself to the Don. Like he used that terminology, and he was like in a parked car, and he was like, people say hospice. I watched this video. I was like, that's crazy. I'm not in hospice. And he said, that's like what the Don says. It's fake news or something like that.
Yeah.
He was dead.
Right after that. All right.
Too bad. He could have been in Trump's next cabinet too.
Like Amorosa. All right. Let's get up out of here. Let's do it. All right. It's America Unplugged, guys. Thank you for tuning in as you do every week. We really, really appreciate it. What's up to everybody on the Twitterverse, man, on the X? What's going on to all of you guys out there? Thank you for tuning in. What's up, Rockfin? What's up, YouTube? Everybody, we appreciate you. Okay. Tony Arterburn, tell the people where they can find you.
Arterburn.news, wolfpack.gold. Go check it out, folks. We got a promo code 1776. Free silver with any sign up or upgrade on Wolfpack. And gold hit its all-time high like 5 times in the last 30 days, folks. There's something going on. And it's not gold hitting its all-time high. It's a dollar hitting its all-time low. It's an inversion of finance. And the BRICS nations are creating their currency. Zimbabwe is online with the gold-backed currency. There's something going on all across the world. Currencies and the monetary system itself is shifting. So pay attention. Check that out. And if you want to hedge against inflation and geopolitical uncertainty, wolfpack.gold.
I want to talk to you about that off air, Tony, about some of this stuff, because I don't know. It's interesting. Do you have a little bit of time? We sure. Did not talk about the people that made their comments on.
No, that's on, yeah, and thank you. We're working on those. Everybody who's emailed me, we're putting together a package for you. Should all go out Monday. If you still want to give, we prefer it to be on Apple if you can do it. That helps the algorithms the most. Yeah. But if you can give us a 5-star and comment on there, screenshot it. Say, go to wolfpack.gold, find my email, send it there. But I do have to run because I've got people I'm running the shop. I gave my ladies the day off, so I'm running the shop, and they've got customers waiting on me. So can you close out, Billy?
I'll close out, buddy. Take it easy. Don, you got to go too, I'm assuming. Say goodbye to the people. Yes, I'm actually, let me just say what's up. Tony, thank you, buddy. I'll close out. 502 boy, what's going on? He left a comment. Garrett W. Robson left a comment. What's going on? I'm going to read all of these. Next week to start the show. We're sorry we didn't do it this time. Michael left a comment, 76. Soylent Memes, I love that. Soylent Memes is people, Don. Cool.
That's right.
It's people. And these are 5-star comments that they're leaving. We really appreciate it. Adam left another one. We got quite a bit of them that people decided to leave 5-star reviews. Jordan Fan left a review. Art of Gus Pons, that's my dude. What's up, Art of Gus Pons? How are you? Thank you so much for that, man. What is this? I can't read that. I can't read that one. Rocky USA left one. Mr. LZ left one. Now, there's probably more, but I can't access them anymore. But I know there's more, just judging from the jump in 5-star reviews. So thank you to all of you. Don, you want to say what's up to the YouTube chat before we get out of here?
Yeah, James Doe, it's very kind of you to see you on Substack. I appreciate everybody. That please, if you don't subscribe to me on Substack, Donald Jeffries at Substack.com, called I Protest, just like my weekly podcast here on the same fine network. So Kat Goya, good to see you. Harps, Chris Graves, Geese Busters, Chris Buchan, of course, is out there with his provocative anti-Jewish comments that we always look forward to. Karen Carpenter, Tom Cooper. A lot of stuff for here. There's change. OR Busy, my buddy in the UK. I love OR contacts me almost every day and just to let me know. Hello, sire. And he calls me sire. Nobody calls me sire. Hello, sire. That'll tell me what time it is in the UK, and then I'll tell him what time it is in the US. So it's very cool. LB, we had somebody from Germany listening yesterday, which is really cool. LB, OR Busy. Who else? Don Lambert.
What's up, Don? How are you? Karen Carpenter pulling double duty as usual. What's up, Karen?
59. Yeah. I don't see Deborah Willard today, but yeah, so pretty much the usual suspects. And we obviously appreciate you, especially you people that are so loyal. You're always here.
Jason Barker, what's going on? Doing his thing. Freeworld.fm and doing his thing. Knights of the Storm. We appreciate Jason so much, man. Opus Cosmic, what's going on? Just made it. You just made it for the comments. Opus Cosmic, what's going on? How are you? Greetings and blessings. Ghost Bro or Ghost Boo? I can't see that. Hold on. Ghost Boo. What's going on? Steve Swan. I don't know about Steve sometimes, man. Very, very homophobic. He might be gay. There's nothing wrong with being gay, Steve. Come out of the closet. It's okay. It's
Deborah,
all right.
Deborah Wheeler is there. Deborah Wheeler, good to see. There you go.
What's up, Deborah Wheeler? Steve, it's okay, man. We're not going to judge you either way, man. It's 2024. Birdhouse Blues, what's going on? How are you? What else we got here? Gardner Goldsmith, what's going on, sir? How are you? I need to get in touch with you, Gard. We need to talk about a few things, and I need to get you back on the fringe. We got to do that. It's always good to see you. Thank you for being here. Assyrian Girl is here. How are you? I did see Wayne McCroy earlier today. He clarified some things about Crow. I have to go back and read that, but thank you so much, Wayne, for being here and for doing what you do. Freethinker 59 is here. Birdhouse Blues is in the house as well, and I'm going to keep scrolling up, see if I see anybody new. But Hemp Car, I saw, what's our boy from Australia? Did we shout him out? Because I saw him. Harps, really in Connecticut, because we all know Australia doesn't exist. But regardless, thank you for tuning in.
Hanging by his feet.
And everybody else who tuned in, we really appreciate you. Tom Cooper, what is going on? I should be hanging out with Mr. Cooper tonight. How are you? That's it, man. We're gonna get out of here. Thank you so much for tuning in yet again. And hopefully the world doesn't come apart, you know, and we can be here next week to talk about everything that's going on with you and this thing of ours that we do every Saturday. We love you guys. Take it easy. Do not burn the place down while we're gone. No closing music tonight, today, or wherever you are. I don't know. Bye-bye. Take it easy. Boom.